Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Give him all your praise. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. Come on, everybody. Give him your praise. Give him your praise. Give him your praise. Don't wait for your neighbor to give him praise. Listen, don't wait for your neighbor to give him praise. You're a leader. You give him a praise. The reason why you made it today is because of his grace. You should have been dead a long time ago, but it's because of his love that spared you of why you made it in the house. Don't look to your neighbor. Hallelujah. You be the neighbor. And you give him all your praise, all your honor, and all the glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Church, God is here. He's here. And whatever you want to receive from the Lord, you can get from him right now. He just says, just ask. Just ask. And it'll be given you. Unbraid it not. You got to come believing. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Church, we ready for the word? I said, church, are you ready for the word? Let's hear from God. Go with me. Hallelujah. Go with me to 2 Samuel. I'm going to be skipping around a little bit because I have to give you context. And I'm going to be hop, skipping, jumping around. Amen? But I want you to go with me. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1, and then I'm going to skip over. Hallelujah. Pull this thing up. I call this message Chosen for the Battle. I titled it Chosen for the Battle. We're going to start off reading 2 Samuel 11, chapter 11, verse 1, and then I'm going to skip over to verse 8, and then we're going to take it from 8 to 13, and then I'm going to skip again to the chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 7, and then I'm going to finish in verse 13. I'm going to, and before you're reading, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. And so I'm going to kind of dash through it, but I want you to stick with me. God has a word for you today. Amen. You're at the right place. I want to also make mention of this. For those of you all that have children under the age of 11, discretion is advised. I am on an assignment. And so I'm going to do my best to tame my language that is suitable. I'll do my best. But I want you to know, please, I'll do my best. The Bible reads 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1. I'm going to begin reading New American Standard Bible. It says, then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. I'm going right to verse 8. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out of the king's house And a present from the king was sent out after him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. Now, when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters. They're in tents. They're out there. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? By your life and the life of your soul, I will not do this thing. Then David said to Uriah, stay here today also and tomorrow, and I will let you go. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. 13. Now David called him, and he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his bed with his Lord's servant, but he did not go down to his house. Hallelujah. I am going now to chapter 12, verse starting at verse 5. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and had no compassion. Hallelujah. He did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, you are the man. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I anointed you king over Israel, and it is I who delivered you from the hands of Saul. My last verse, and I promise. Verse 13. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. When a believer submits to God's word, temptation is rejected. But when God's word is rejected, temptation is invited and creates a mess. Today my topic is, you may have lost this round, but you haven't lost the battle. I said, you may have lost this round, but not the battle. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you for what you have already done. But now, God, we have given you all the praise. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit right now. We have given you all the praise. We've given you all the honor. It's yours. Now, Lord, we are open to receive what it is that you have for us today. Have your way. Lord, hide Pastor Jeff Morton. Hide your child, your son, behind the cross. You do what you want to do. These are your people. Or I submit this instrument to you. Now bless the hearts and minds of your people. And Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Touch your neighbor next to you and say, I love you. And touch your neighbor on the other side and say, I'm in the battle with you. Hallelujah. I'm in the battle with you. Hallelujah. Passion. Passion comes from a Latin word called passio. Latin word, passio. Ha, I like that, the posse. Passion, passio comes from a Latin word. And in the 1200s, the French took the word and they made it passion. That's where we get the word passion, because the French took the word passio and made it passion. And because the word passio means to suffer, it means to endure. It means to go through something. And the French took this word because they made it to mean the passion that Jesus Christ had. Because he endured, he suffered. Yeah. Hallelujah. This is where we get the passion of the Christ. If you look in your dictionary, you can look in your Webster dictionary, the first definition that pops up is the passion of Christ. That's what it meant. It meant the endurance. It meant that he suffered on the cross for you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the passion. Oh, I love it. I love it. But in the 1300s, around 1350, it started taking on new definitions. It started talking about our feelings. If you was here last week, you know, it started talking about your feelings and your passion was devoted to maybe your anger and your emotions and your feelings. But then in the 1400s, it took on new definition. It started talking about our lusts, our physical lusts, and how we get involved with sin. It started taking on new meaning. For the sake of this message, when I use the word passion, I'm going to use the word compassion. Because compassion is accompanied by somebody else that will go through the suffering. Oh, do I got somebody in the house with me that will go into that will suffer with you, that will endure with you, because that's what Jesus Christ did. He suffered and endured with us in the battle. And for the sake of this message, when I'm talking about passion, I will use the word lustful passion. I won't use appetite. I will use lustful passion. Hallelujah. Because remember, lustful passion is talking about the lust. And that lust could be anything. It could be your lust for money. It could be your lust for sex. It could be your lust for things. It could be your lust for attention. Some of us have a lust for... somebody, I forgot to say hello to somebody because they need some attention. They want me to say their name. So we all have something that our flesh lusts for. Hallelujah. Compassion is the very thing that allows me to know that somebody is in this thing with me that wants to suffer with me. But my lusts don't want to battle at all. My lustful passion don't want to go through anything. God, I want to preach this thing because you've seen in times where lustful passions have broken up families. It's broken up marriages. It's broken up relationships. Our passion, our lustful passion, we see it in Hollywood. We see people's careers ending because their lustful passions got the best of them. It's because of their lustful passion destroying them. Hallelujah. And that's what lustful passions are about. They're not about you. It's about satisfying its appetite. Come on, how many of us know that when our flesh wants its way, it wants all control? Listen, your flesh don't want you to rule it. Your lustful passion wants to rule you. And I'm telling you something, saints, that lustful passion is like the Terminator. It's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming until it has its way. Where it's the host and you're the subject. And we see it. In relationships, we see it in the communities. We've seen it break up everything. Hallelujah. And this lustful passion is coming for you. And it's coming for you. But if there's anybody in the house that knows what I'm talking about, that it ain't gonna come for me without a fight. Hallelujah. Because if it's gonna come for me, I'm gonna keep swinging at it until it's defeated. I'm not gonna let it take from me. I'm about the battle. I'm about the fight, and I'm gonna take the fight to it before it tries to take the fight to me. Hallelujah. But how many of us know that it's better that when you're in the fight for somebody to jump in it? Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Has anybody ever been in a fight? Oh, I just want to talk. Let me embellish. Oh, God, I'm gonna take my time and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen. Has anybody ever been in a battle and somebody was willing to be in the battle with you. Somebody had compassion. Maybe you couldn't pay a bill on time and somebody said, oh, that's what you're going through? I want to step in it with you. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a girlfriend. Maybe you're going through something in your marriage and somebody wanted to jump in it and they say, listen, I'm going to help you through this fight. Maybe you went through a divorce or you're going through a divorce. And somebody sees that you're going through and they have compassion and they jump in and say, I'm going to go through this with you. Because people with compassion can see the reward in the fight. See, you in the fight and you're like, I don't want to fight. I'm tired of fighting. But the person that jumps in with you, they can see the reward. Hallelujah. In the fight. Hallelujah. Oh God. And it's amazing because when this story opens up, the Bible talks about that it's a season, it's springtime, where the kings go and battle. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, they don't get it over here yet, but I'm going to get y'all to get it. It says when the kings go out to battle. That means that the battle is for individuals who wants to be Lord over their situation. Do I got anybody in the house yet? I don't got you yet. I'm going to get you there. Hallelujah. It means that you go battle so that the thing that is supposed to rule you, you rule it. And so you go into the battle to let it know who's boss. You're the one that tames it. It don't tame you. Come on, somebody. You're not the one that got the leash on you. You got the leash on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the battle is meant to be won. It's not meant to kill you. Come on. It's meant for you to succeed. It's meant for you to be a ruler. Hallelujah. And that person that gets in it with you, they got compassion. And they can see, we're going to win this thing together. Why? Because one can chase 1,000. But two can put 10,000 to the flight. Come on, somebody. I wish I had somebody. I said it takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight. Somebody that had compassion. And this is what this is what's happening. Hallelujah. They have some compassion. I remember when I was a young man, I was a third grade elder. And I'll never forget it. I had to battle through school because school education wasn't my strong suit. Yeah. I got to study now because I'm a pastor. But back then, I didn't want to study. And school wasn't my strong suit. And I was in third grade, and I'll never forget it. And I pray that my brother's watching this right now. But my brother show compassion, because when I was in school, the last month of the year, it was rumored they were going to make me student of the month. Now, that's a big deal, elder, because I wasn't the brightest man. And they was like, hey, Brother Jeff, we're going to make you the student of the month. And I'm, yeah, I'm going to be the student of the month. And one of the bullies came walking up on me. Oh, I heard you're going to be student of the month. And he gave me, see, everybody don't know, we used to fight now. I don't want to mess nobody up, but we used to fight. And one of the bullies gave me one of the shoulders, boom, in the arm. And he gave me, and you know what that means? It means what's up? What you trying to do, right? And you know I ain't no punk. Now, you know I ain't no punk. You know I ain't no punk, right? And so before I reacted, I said, oh, I might have to eat this one. I might have to be embarrassed because it matters to me that I'm going to get this reward because I feel like I don't deserve it, but I'm gonna get it and be granted it. And I'll never forget my brother who had compassion, somebody I trained up in karate because I didn't know karate. I didn't know karate, but I knew some crazy, and I trained my young brother up. And out of nowhere, when the young man pushed me and was like, what's up, Jeff? What you trying to do? And everybody, ooh. I don't condone this. Discretion is advised for the young ones. My brother comes from nowhere and gave this man a mean shiner in the eye. And just remember, at that age, fights only last about 5 to 7 seconds. You know, we ain't third grade. But my brother got the best of him, and he was giving him the haymakers. I'm just, as if, like it was praise and worship. Like it's praise and worship, hallelujah. Because my brother, and I say this to you, Chris, you had compassion on me. You was willing to get in the battle with your boy. And we prevailed and we won. And we won and we tied it up. And I don't know who I'm talking to. But you may be going through a situation where you're going through a battle. Understand, God has designed people who have compassion to be in that battle with you. They have foresight on what the reward is. You got to open up your eyes and see who those individuals are that are willing to be in a battle. Hallelujah. And so these gentlemen, so David, the king, hallelujah, he's the prodigal. He's like a prodigy. He's 17 years old. His story opens up by having compassion. Why you say that, Pastor? Because the Bible says that while his brothers and all of Israel was out in the battle, there was a Philistine that says, he's a giant Philistine, says, I'll challenge any one of you to a duel. I'm making up the words because it's cool. To a duel. Right? In my language. And everybody was afraid. And this went on for 40 days. Nobody wanted to challenge him. And David makes his entrance. Hallelujah, the young prodigy. And he says, what's going on? While he's serving his brother, he's serving. He's in the right place. I just want to minister to somebody. If you want to be in the right place, you just got to serve. Listen, if you want to know what place you need to be in, if you're out of place, it's because you're not serving. He just wanted to serve. And he serves them and sees that this is going on in a battle. And he has compassion. Say, let me have them. I'll take that Philistine giant. Since y'all scared, I ain't scared. Hallelujah. I'll take my slingshot and my three small, smooth stones. They try to put a sword on them and a shield on them. But I want to minister to somebody. Whatever fight you're in right now, you got all that you need. Hallelujah. The fight and the battle that you're in right now has nothing. Listen, you've been through worse. You're adequate. You have everything you need to knock out your giants. I don't know if you have a giant today, but God has given you everything you need to knock out that giant. David knocks the giant out with his slingshot. Boom. Hallelujah. And the fame goes on. And then he's in the military immediately, and the cheerleaders are cheering. Saul, King Saul, he's killed his thousands. But when David comes around, oh, David has killed his tens of thousands. This man was a battle. He was a battle warrior. He was compassionate. In other words, he was willing to get in the fight, to endure, and to suffer in the battle. But in this particular situation, hallelujah, he sends all of Israel. He sends the presence of the God, of the Lord. He sends his warriors, his soldiers, his renegades. Oh, his bad boys, he sends them out to the battle. But the Bible says that David stayed home. Stayed home. How does an individual that was born to battle, that was born to have compassion, find himself out of place, misplaced at home? He's supposed to be serving through his compassion. I'm with you, brother, in the battle, in the suffering. We're going to do this together because we're going to win. We win every time. But he's at home. How many of us have been in a situation where we were tired of fighting? I'm going to talk over here. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of battling. I'm in the same marital situation. I'm tired. I'm in the same job situation. I'm tired. I'm watching everybody on Facebook blow up. I want my Facebook post too. My business on the wall. I'm tired of fighting. How many of us ever been in a situation where we were just tired of fighting? My head hurts. I'm having anxiety attacks. I have to up my viewership with my therapist. I gotta see him. I gotta see you more, baby. I don't see you once a week. I see you three times a week. Hallelujah. I'm tired of battling and I'm tired of fighting. Come on, somebody. How many of us been in a situation like that and we just wanted to stay home? I don't want to fool with y'all. I just want to be home. But you know, when we home, I'm always trying to get into something. Come on, somebody. I gotta be doing something because I'm built to serve. I'm built to do. And if I'm not doing for the Lord, then I'm doing for the... If I'm not doing for the Lord, then I'm doing for... I'm in my Instagram. Oh, I feel sorry for this generation. Oh, Lord, swiping. Swipe. I'm mad at you. Swipe. I'm mad at that one. Swipe. Now you in your Instagram and now you in your Facebook post because I'm trying to get into something. Yeah, understand. Lustful passion hasn't gripped me yet. I'm looking for lustful passion. It hasn't, I'm not even there. I'm looking for something to get into. Come on, somebody. Underlay. Mama, E-I-E-I. Uh-oh, what's popping tonight? Oh, I wish I had some folks that understood. I'm trying to see what's going on tonight. I'm trying to see what's cracking tonight. Right? Because I want to get into something. I'm tired. And I just want to feel something. I want to feel alive again. I've been battling. I've been hustling. I've been a ruler all this time. I'm the ruler. I'm the man. I'm the woman. But now I need something for me. And that's what lustful passion is about. It's about itself. It's not for you. It wants to rule you. It wants to take over you. Understand? And it's coming for you. And it's coming to, it knows no consequence. It doesn't care about the mess it leaves. It wants to take you over and take your career and take your marriage and take your life and take your mind. It wants to take over. It wants to control you. Hallelujah. And so David is on his, hallelujah, on his Instagram. He was on his porch on top of the roof, but I'm contemporizing it. He's on his Instagram and he's on his Facebook scrolling, seeing what time it is for the night. He's in his phone book, seeing I ain't been with them in a while. Let me see what's up with them. I ain't gonna get no laughs because nobody ain't never did that before. Oh man, I haven't kicked it with them in a while. Let me see what they on. I know that ain't happened to you before. Hallelujah. And David had live stream before there was live stream. Yeah. I ain't got number. Nobody picking up. So let me see what's on. You know. Let me see what I can do. Yeah. And on live stream, he's looking at something that don't belong to him. Come on. He's looking at something that doesn't belong to him. But lust for passions doesn't care. It doesn't care who you belong to. It doesn't care of the mess. It doesn't care of your reputation. It doesn't care of what it destroys. It wants what it wants when it wants it. It's thirsty, it's hungry, and it won't stop till it eats. It won't stop. You can't stop it. You won't stop, can't stop. It's coming for you. Hallelujah. And he's David inquires of the woman. And this is mind-boggling for me. They come back and they said, listen, dude, this is the daughter of Eliam. He's one of the elders in the battle. This is a compassionate fellow because he's in the battle. And he says, and this is the wife, come on, of Uriah, who's in the battle. He's compassionate. He's in the battle. Your lustful passion don't care about who's compassionate. It doesn't, it blinds you. It doesn't see. It wants what it wants when it wants it, and it's never fully and finally satisfied. It's going to hunt again. Hallelujah. And he calls for the woman, and then the woman comes, and they, you know, because it's kids. Is kids. Lustful passions don't care about you or its repercussions. Because the Bible says that, Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't care about making a mess. The Bible says that she was on her menstrual cycle. Understand, in that time, that was considered completely unclean in that culture. That is a violation of the law. Not only did they commit adultery, which would sanction them to death by stoning them, then they commit an act that is unclean. This is what lustful passions do. It does not care about the mess it leaves, the consequences. And I'm here, I just want to minister to somebody right quick. The Bible says that then she went home. She had to go home. She had to go. How did the rap song go? 4 a.m., I'm at the Waffle House. 5 a.m., now I'm taking her to my house. 6 a.m., now I'm digging her out. 6:15, now I'm kicking her out. 7 a.m., I'm going to call my friends. 12 a.m., I'm going to do it again. The world is telling you how this thing works. If he cared about her, she'd stay at the crib. That means the house. She'd stay at the house. Right? But he didn't care about her. Lust doesn't care about you. It cares about getting what it wants when it wants it. This is why, hallelujah, I just want to talk to the single people. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. This is why I'm talking to the ladies, and I'm not hating on the men. The devil is a liar. Ladies, this is why you should wait. Hold out before you sleep with that man. You need to learn to hold out, because sleeping with him won't get you that commitment. You're hearing it from a man. You're giving him the reward before he even knows who you are. I know the men looking at me like you a hater, but the devil is a liar. If you was a woman of standard, hallelujah, you would have compassion for that man and get in the battle with him, right? The battle is that passion of lust struggle. Get in the battle with him and work with him. Build that man so that he can get to know who you are, because you may realize that he's not the man for you. You're not addicted to him. Your lust, your passion for lust is addicted to his flesh. You don't even know him. Well, I've been with him six years. You don't know him. Eliminate that piece and see what if you learn them. Lord, how many of us married folks know that from dating to marriage is different? Oh, things change. You take that good thing out and you get them to learn the good thing. Hallelujah. Get them, yeah. And fellas, ladies, understand this. And fellas, you should want a woman that has some standard. If she's sleeping with you all soon, think about it. Soon she getting her feelings. I'm worried. Where you at, honey? Because you let me. Can I be real? I don't know if I do. Can I be real? I can't be real. Do I got to go back? Can I get real? Okay. I just want to help you, sisters. Putting a baby on a man won't get that commitment. I'm just going to be plain. I'm just going to be plain. You should want a man of standards. And if he hasn't having a problem, get in a battle with him. Be compassionate. You might realize he ain't none of your man. He ain't none of my man. You may realize that ain't none of your lady. Take that out. Oh, man. Hallelujah. And so he sends her. She goes home. Let me get back to the Bible. Let me get out your business. Let me get back. Thank God for the Bible. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he finds out that she's pregnant. And instead, at this moment, I need to insert something that's very important. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the greatest gift that we can have from Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. It washes away our sins. It means that we don't have to pay the debt that we owe. It means that that we get to live again. And David has an opportunity after he learns that she's pregnant to repent. Repent means to go the other way. Don't persist in this lust, this lustful passion. But we can turn it the other way. Yes, I got to deal with the consequence. But you got to understand, a passion, lustful passion, doesn't care about the consequences. It doesn't care. It wants to cover it up. But David has an opportunity to repent at that moment. Yeah, I gotta deal with my responsibilities. I gotta deal with it. But thank God that I'm gonna turn the other way. This doesn't continue. Hallelujah. But he doesn't. He calls for Uriah, the woman's husband. I wanna preach. But God's compassion is in that, Minister Leo. When Uriah comes home, hallelujah, I'm going to change some names around a little bit. But lustful passions tries to bribe compassion. But compassion doesn't go home for pleasure, because compassion knows that his brother, the king, is in the battle. Oh, God, I wish you could see what I'm saying. The Bible says that Uriah does not go home to his wife after he comes from the battle. He stays at the gate. Compassion, somebody, is at your door. If you just open up your eyes and see that compassion is right there, you can receive it. That you don't have to go through the battle alone. But there is compassion standing outside your door, and it sleeps right outside. It's not going back to pleasure, because it's willing to win the battle with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Compassion is at the door waiting for you. Compassion cannot be bribed. Hallelujah. Then he tries to get the man drunk. He tried to get him tripped up. And he says, compassion, why? Uriah, I'm calling him compassion. Compassion, why didn't you go home to be with your wife? Because compassion says, I got brothers out there. Who am I talking to? There are brothers in the city that are battling. There are people in the communities that are battling. There are people in their marriages that are battling. There are people in the workplace that are battling. Why would I be going to go get pleasure when I know that I have brothers and sisters that are in the battle? I don't need to be drinking and eating and having pleasure when I know that there's a battle we can win together. So compassion doesn't go home. Compassion can't be bribed. Compassion can't be kicked out. The Bible says that Uriah stayed at the gate to serve. I'm saying the reason why you're displaced and the reason why you're overcome with lust and passion is because you stopped serving. Come on. You stopped it. You stopped serving. Serving is your rightful place. God created you to serve. Hallelujah. And if you're not serving him, if you're not serving compassion, then you're serving lusts. Hallelujah. And so he gets frustrated because he sees compassion. But understand, when you're in a lustful, oh God, thank you for this, Lord. Because when you are in lustful passion, you can't see clearly. You have a cloudy view. You can't see. The euphoria is too high. Come on, somebody. Listen, I remember, oh God, I just want to go here. It was a colleague of mine. We were walking down the street. He saw something. Oh God. And he was just like, oh my God. And you could tell he was in his lustful passion. And he said, oh my goodness. And I'm telling you, Elder, his vision was clouded, because I was like, brother. He was looking at all the, and I said, brother, but did you see the eye on her forehead? Last I checked, that's a Medusa. Because you can't see. Everybody looks good in a muted light. Last call for alcohol. Everybody look good in muted light. Then when you wake up and you back to your senses after your lust and had its feed. Yo, come get me out of this. Save me. Now you want some compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so he gets so frustrated with compassion because he can't see it. You can't see it. So he puts compassion on the line back in the battle to be killed. Come on, somebody. I just want to pause here for a second because I thank the Lord that I'm willing to die for what I believe in. Compassion, I'm willing to die for the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm willing to die for the Lord. I'm willing to die being in the battle for the things that I'm passionate about, the things that I believe in. Hallelujah. Because compassion can't be killed. Compassion is not a person. It's a spirit. It is the same passion that Jesus Christ had when he went to the cross. And it's the same passion that gripped him and brought him up from the dead. And it is the same passion that has renewed your life and compelled you to be before the Lord. It is compassion. He is in this thing with us. And Uriah is killed. And hallelujah. And the Bible says that David moves, hallelujah, Bathsheba and the child into his home. And now they're in the home. And the Lord, this is what I want you to get. Elder, the Lord never loses his compassion. Because you killed what I, oh God, thank you, Jesus Christ. See, the Pharisees knew the Bible. But when the word of God came in the flesh, they couldn't even recognize him. How do you know everything about the coming of the Lord? He's right there, buddy. But you cannot see him. That's why, listen, same situation. David could not see compassion when he was at his front door. But the Lord never loses his compassion, even when you kill him. Just like they put Jesus on the cross. Jesus, God still didn't lose his compassion because compassion shows up through word. The prophet Nathan comes, and the prophet tells him a story. And him being able to see the story outside of himself, which was almost identical to the situation that he set up. And he sees this and he hears this and says, oh my God, that individual deserves to die. And he needs to restore 4 times the weight that he took. Why? Because verse 6 says, because he lost his compassion. Do you see it? David lost the passion to battle with others. Do you see it? He lost that. And then when Nathan says, you are the man, I don't know who I'm talking to. But I don't know if it's you that have lost your compassion. You've lost the will to battle. But maybe it's you are the man. Maybe you are the woman that is lost and is being ruled by lust and not being the ruler because you're not willing to be in the battle. And so the Bible says as soon as he hears this elder, he says, oh my God, I have sinned. He acknowledges his wrong, which allows forgiveness because God will forgive you for anything. He is faithful and just to forgive you for anything that you've done. That is his gift to us. I want you, for those of you who've already fell asleep on me, For those of you who've been in your phones, this is the message in a sentence.
Oh God, thank you.
Life battles are won with compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Life battles are won with compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Say it with me. Life battles are won with compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Say it with me. Life battles are won with compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Say it with me. Life battles are won with compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Say it with me. Life battles are won with compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Now give God a hand clap of praise. Because the people in here are not afraid of a battle. Now I need you to sit at the edge of your seat. I need you to sit at the edge of your seat. My church, obedience is better than sacrifice. Sit at the edge of your seat. I need that music. Imagine with me if the city had compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Imagine if our state had compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Imagine if this country had compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Imagine if your home had compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Imagine if your marriage had a compassionate one and forgiven one. Imagine if your children had compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Imagine if on the job you had compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Imagine that. Nobody died. We all win the battle. Because that's the way you're going to win your battles. With compassionate ones and forgiven ones. Praise the Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise. I done made all the men, the single men, mad today. Praise the Lord. At this moment, I'm asking you to reach into the place that the Lord just touched, which is your heart, and give unto the Lord. We have envelopes being passed around, and we'll have buckets passed around. But if you're somebody that is technically sound, we're asking you, you can give by way of texting the give. You could text give real, that's GIVEREAL, to 73256. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart, that's what you give. Amen. And you can also go to our website at IsraelLife.com. At IsraelLife.com, you can go and it could just be reoccurring. It could just be reoccurring. That way you don't have to think about it. And then when it's time to think about it, you can give more. Because the Bible says that he gives unto a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And if we give sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we give bountifully, God will give back to us bountifully. Oh, he's a just and fair God. He actually gives more than what you could even fathom of giving. So at this moment, give to him. And in about 30 seconds, I'm going to pray. And then I want to open up the doors to the altar, and then I'll give the benediction. As a matter of fact, yes, I'll do it in that order. So don't leave. I know you're in a rush, but that restaurant's not going to close. that person that you're on your way to go see will have compassion. They're in the fight with you. And just know your pastor is in the fight with you. God is so good. Life battles are won by compassionate ones and forgiven ones. That's so good. Would you please raise your offerings to the Lord? And then we'll pass buckets following this. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you. We thank you for the word that you've just given us. Lord, there is no way in this world that we can give back to you what you've given us. But this is our heart token to you, to let you know that we trust you, we love you, and we honor you. Lord, we ask that you would receive this as a sweet aroma, and Lord, that you would provide back to us exceedingly and abundantly above what we could even ask or think. Father, we thank you, we glorify you, and it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please go ahead and those buckets are coming around. Go ahead and put whatever the Lord's put in your heart to give. At this moment, as you guys are getting that up, if there is somebody that is not saved, you don't know Jesus, and you would like to know him more and more, at this moment, we're inviting you to the altar where you can receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. This is not a religion. I know it sounds like one, but it ain't. It's a relationship. Amen. If that is you, the doors of the altar are open. If you're somebody that needs a touch, you've been in the battle, and you need some compassion, the doors are open that you may be able to receive that compassion. Maybe you're somebody that is tired of fighting, and that lust passion has a grip, it has a hold on me. I can't stay out of the casino. Uh-oh. I didn't spend all of my money. And I just need somebody to pray, touch and agree with me, and pray with me. I need some compassion. Somebody that's willing to be in the battle with me. If I'm a marriage and I'm just suffering in my marriage, I just need somebody to touch and agree, battle with me. Because I know that two people make a thing go right. I know that. It takes two. But I need somebody to touch and agree that everything is all right in my home. The altars are open. Amen. I'll give you about 10 more seconds. Amen. That means that, oh, hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. At this moment, as these individuals are coming up, praise the Lord. God, you guys, you can give God a hand clap of praise, because let me say this. Believers of the living God, this is what this is about. This is why I do what I do. If somebody's heart can be changed because they heard the word of God, this is why I live, for a heart to be changed for Jesus. I want to pray with you as a benediction. Would you stand with me for those of you? I'm going to pray for you right now. And for those of you who want to be dismissed following this prayer, you are welcome to leave. For those that want to stick around and witness this miracle. Hallelujah. You are welcome to stay. Will you raise your hands with me? Father, you just came in this place and wrecked it. You wrecked my heart, you wrecked my mind, and you've wrecked my life. Now I know how I can be changed. All I need is a little compassion and some forgiveness. And my battle is won. Father, so I say, Lord, be with your people. Lord, whatever they're dealing with right now, God, touch them at the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Wherever they need, God, for that person that should be up here but decided not to come up, I ask that you would still bestow your compassion on them, that their eyes may be clear to really see you for who you are. God, we thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And let everybody that believes Jesus say, amen.